If we don't say anything again today, I think Professor Kende, he preached more than on finance. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Can you imagine meeting that guy and it was otherwise? Huh? He couldn't recognize the guy, but the guy recognized him. Then Yoruba will say, "Eni toba shekini kon, o wa ngbagbe." Shugba eni toba, you understand. If you don't understand, you can ask your neighbor if you don't understand. That's why we have to be very careful, very careful. And you know, Solomon said in his wisdom, "Cast your bread upon many waters." Some of us will, this do good, this give, this. But by the time you start to receive, some of us that were still struggling with, should we tithe or not tithe? Sit down there. Sit down. But when the consequences start to come, it may be too late. That's not my topic. Praise God. Thank you so much. And, you know, Bible says the memory of the just is blessed. Daddy Kende, he was a chief. Chief Kende, S-O-A, Kende. And Chief Mrs. Kende were wonderful people. Wonderful, wonderful people that would take anybody. It wasn't only that man. No. I know another professor today in Funab that lived with them. He's a professor. Prof is Baba Tunde Kende. That one is Tunde. You understand? He lived with them. Their home was open to everybody. It's not because they were millionaires. They were not millionaires, in quotes. They didn't have endless resources, but the little they had. It was from mommy that I learned that, sorry, I'm going this way. We better let's just follow God. It was from mommy that I learned that when you are building a house, you manage your resources. That his mom would tell his dad, "Don't worry, you just keep putting resources to do this project. I will find how we eat in the house. I will look for and manage our resources so that we will not lack. We may not eat what they are eating in Naso Rock, but we will eat." And that's how they were able to put up a lot of things that the children could rely on, could have. And much more, a good name. A good name. A good name. All right. Let me rest my case. Colossians chapter 3. Let's talk to ourselves this morning. Colossians chapter 3. Sometimes ago, I preached a message on how to relate with your adult children. And if you are here, you have adult children, please. I think that was about 2 weeks ago in first service. You can go listen to that message because I know some people are in this service, they have adult children. Some people are in this service, they are still single, yet to get married. Some people are in this service, they're trusting God to have children, looking forward to when they're going to have children. They're going to come in the name of Jesus because the Bible says none shall be barren in the house. So whichever one that applies, and some people are here, they're single parents, single mothers or single fathers, but we trust God to speak to all of us here in the name of Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, we have these instructions from Apostle Paul in verse 21. You know, we usually talk about the issue of marriage, husband, wives, this and that. But there is also instruction on what to do with our children. Verse 21 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. He said, do not. Do not provoke. What does it mean to provoke? To provoke means to continue to stir up. To continue to do things that will cause certain reactions. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 1, the story of Peninnah and Hannah. Bible says that Peninnah was having children. Hannah didn't have. So she used her children to continually provoke Hannah. And that provocation came in form of talking to her. We women, God will help us. Don't miss October 1st. God will help us. She used what she had to stir up bitterness in somebody that did not have. So that's provocation. And Anna was provoked. She will not eat. She will weep and weep and weep. Until one day, thank God, she was in the right place. And, she was able to pour her heart to God and things changed. When you provoke someone negatively, because the Bible talks about we should provoke one another to love and to good works. That's what Hebrews chapter 10 says. You can actually, there are certain things that you can do to encourage, to talk towards love and good works. But when you are provoking people and what is coming out of it is bitterness, anger, brokenness, that's not a good provocation. And that's something that you must not do as a father or as a mother. Whatever you are doing that is making your child to be angry, to be bitter, we must not do it. Ephesians chapter 6. We should stop doing them. We should stop doing them. Because it will not all go well. For you and for that child at the end of the day. Chapter 6, look at verse 1, Ephesians. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You know, we are quick to quote that as parents. We are quick to demand our children to obey us. Sit down. Daddy says so. I told you in this house. Daddies and mommies. But is there any way we can help them that they will do it and do it well? That they will obey us. They will honor us. Yes, they are demanded to do that. God commands them to do that. And there is no clauses. Just like God demands a man to love his wife. And there are no clauses. Not if she submits, if she's this, if she's that. A woman to submit to her husband, not if she's this. The same way God demands children to honor, to obey. No clauses. But as a father, as a mother, you must look at yourself. Are there things I am doing that will not allow my children to obey me or to honor me? And it says in verse 4 of that same chapter, it says, and you, when I'm talking to the children, it says, and you, fathers and mothers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but rather bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Do not provoke them to anger, to bitterness, that your children, they can't stand you. They don't want to stay around you. They would rather, do without you, if possible. I remember when we were growing up, if daddy comes down, everybody goes up. When we hear his voice upstairs, everybody. Because there was no interaction, there was no room for anything. So, what and what? He said, do not provoke your children. Can we have it in NLT and other translations? He said, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. By the way you treat them. How do you treat your children?
How do you talk to them? How do you handle them? Do you see them as just burdens? My brothers and my sister, there's tendency to see your children as burdens at this time and age. But you brought them into the world already. There's tendency to feel that, is it not because of you I'm overworking? I don't have time for you. Talk to them anyhow. It says, don't provoke them to anger. And the children there, you know, they can't talk. They may not be able to talk to you or respond. But within them, they are wondering, this is my father, this is my mother. I don't even know what is always wrong with her. I don't know what is always wrong with him. He always getting angry. And that's breaking their hearts. Say, don't provoke your children. Don't push your children negatively, because it's going to break their hearts. But rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. We'll look at the instruction that comes from the Lord. Give us message or TPT. Say, fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Another word for exasperate is frustrate. Don't frustrate your children. Mark that word. They are children. They are not adults like you. They don't know about dollar rates. Which one concern them? You are the one looking at what dollar rates. You are the one expecting 70,000 minimum wage that is yet to come. What else are you? You are the one calculating. You are the one going to the market. Fine. Thank God. And the grace of God will help you to do that. But don't kick the cat when you can't kick the dog. You understand what I mean? The dog has offended you, but it's the cat that you are kicking. We can't get Tinubu. We can't get Akpabiodun. We can't get all the, but who can you get? Your wife and your children. And so you lash out. Say, don't frustrate your children by coming down on them. They don't understand. They don't. You know, I've told you before, I was a child. My mom was single parents, trying to make life and do business and do things. And one day I saw a passbook. Before I saw a passbook, I think I was talking with someone. They said a brand new Volkswagen was like 800 or 1,000, between 800 and 1,000 naira. Don't ask me which year, but that was the price. So I saw Mama's passbook one day, and I think I saw 1,200 and something. Do you know what I did? I went to my mother, I said, Mama, Elora Moto now. She looked at me, I was like, you can afford this now. Is it wisdom to spend all your savings on one vehicle? I didn't think of where she was going to park the car. We were living in a rented house. No garage. I couldn't think about that because I was a child. So your children, you don't want to answer me. They are what? They are children. They are not going to be adults. They are not yet adults. Even adults are messing up. So they don't know the cause of that Milo or powdered milk. They just want to scoop and scoop and drink. But you go there, Agbaniko Boza. And the time will look at you, is daddy going crazy? They are children. So don't come hard. Don't come down hard on them. The child is coming back from school. Oh, she didn't pass this. She didn't pass that. Be careful how you talk. Be careful what you say. Don't come too hard. Hey, you will never. You will always fail. You don't. You know all those things that we say, we all look holy now. Talofijo.
Am I talking?
Because when I was your age, like one man told his son, when I was your age, I used to walk to school. I will park my car and you still be wasting my time.
You know what the child said? Daddy, you walk to school because grandpa didn't have a car.
Don't come too hard. Don't come too hard on them. He said, take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. And the way of the master is a way of love. The way of the master is a way of love. Just the way God demands you and I to walk in love, God expects you to walk in love towards your children. And Bible says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is patient, first of all. It's patience. That means putting up with. To be patient means to be able to put up with their inadequacies, their shortcomings, their childish ways. Because children will always be children. Let's talk to ourselves. Children will always be what? Children. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I spoke like a child, I reason like a child. And that's why you need to bring them or train them so that they don't keep being children all their lifetime. Said, don't frustrate them. I don't know where you're frustrating your children. You know, in retrospect, there are things that you wish you didn't do. And we're sharing now so that you don't repeat the mistake that we made in time past. One of the things that we mothers must watch out for is to think that, oh, by repeating and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, there'll be changes. No, you are frustrating them. And they are looking at, mommy is always shouting. Do you remember that clip? Mommy, calm down. Mommy, calm down. Mommy, calm down. See, don't exasperate, don't frustrate your children by coming down on them. Rather, take them by the hand. And look for ways and means to minimize their mistakes. I'll be practical now. When my children were growing up, there wasn't sachet milk there was sachet milk, but not the way they package it now. That 50 grams sachet that you could buy. For me, it was to carry, to be hiding milk. You put it there. You put it there. Say, don't go there. I serve it for them. But today it's so easy. You just cut sachets. You give. You are training them to manage things. You are training them to manage food. Yes, food is expensive. Food must not be wasted. So instead of screaming and shouting, look for ways and means to get things done. Praise God. Can we have TPT, lastly? Say, don't exasperate your children, but raise them up with loving discipline. And that word discipline there is not beating. That word discipline is from the same root word disciple. When you say you are discipling somebody, that means you are training that person. You are teaching that person how to do things. What to do. So they come empty. They come. It is whatever we put inside of them that will cause and help them to grow and to grow well. So don't assume about your kids that they will just know. He said, with loving discipline, with loving training. So say it again and again and again and again. You can't get tired though. I remember our first child, she was just about, was she up to 10? We were in the kitchen one day. And I can't remember the conversation. And I just said, leave me alone. You are the owner of your life. Just do whatever. So as soon as I said that, you know, what I heard in my spirit was like, Holy Spirit laughing at me, making fun of me. It was like, Ah, alive is alive at 10 years. She's not yet even a teenager. You are saying, hey, whatever. Hey, your life. Do whatever. I say, hey, really? So is alive really alive without you, and you are not concerned? So we'll keep training and training. And she in particular, before she got married, because one of the things that you talk and talk about, you say, hey, your room is rough. Your room is this. You scatter your room. There was a time we had to set. I told my husband, I said, put it on your alarm. So that they know that daddy is coming to check their room on so-so nights. So that they will do something about it. But we kept, sometimes we will remember, sometimes we will not remember. But that same girl, when she finished school, started working in Lagos. She stayed with some of her friends for some time, and she said, I want to live on my own. I don't want to live with these people and then go to my husband's house. No, I don't want to live and practice. It was not easy. We had to pay, look for money, for her to start her life by herself. And one day I visited her in Lagos, and she said, Mommy, don't put your shoe on my rug. She said, Mommy, you can leave your shoe outside. I will bring slippers. I was looking at her. And I entered the room. Everywhere was neat. There was slippers for the bathroom. There was slippers for the bedside. I mean, Oluwa. You know, all that time it was as if they were going to remain like that. As if we were just wasting time, wasting effort. No. There's one scripture that I always quote to myself. It's in, I think, Chronicles that says, your work shall be rewarded. That's one of the things I tell myself. My labor will be rewarded because I will see the labor of my hands and I will be happy. But when you are going through the labor, it is not easy, I must tell you. But God will enable you. Part of the grace of God is to enable you to be a good mother, a good father, that your children will want to come back home, that your children will feel good that, I don't have a perfect father. They're not looking for perfect fathers. They're not looking for perfect mothers. But they're looking for a loving mother, a loving father. I said, love. 1 Corinthians says this, verse 13:4 says, love is patient and kind. That is, you are putting up with them, and you are going out of your way to show kindness. You speak kindly to them. You do kind things for them. That's what it means. Oh, you are not this. You are not that. As a father, as a mother, please show love to your children. Show love to your children. And you do it primarily by affirming them. By affirming them. Be careful of what words you speak to your children. What you say to them, they matter a lot. I told my husband, I watched it was an interview of a pastor's kid that grew up in a home amongst, you know, the parents, the father, wonderful people. But there were a lot of people in the house who were speaking negatively to this child. You know that some kids, you speak negatively to them, it bounces out. But there are some kids that when you speak negatively to them, it breaks their heart and you are not aware. You are not aware. It takes years and years for the effect of that brokenness to come out. And by the time it's coming out, it's not going to come out in a positive way. This guy grew up. He said, there was a time I resort in school. And somebody looked at her result and said, she's an average student. And that word average talks to her mind. You're average. You can't go anywhere in life. You will always be average. He said, teachers will come around and say, why are you in art class? Your brother is science. Your sister is science. Why are you not? Are we the same? We are all unique. We are all different. And one of the things that you must not do is to compare and contrast. See your brother, he's not his brother. See your sister, he's not his sister. She's not the sister. Each child is unique. Each child is different and special. And we must take each and every one of them as a bundle of possibility, bundle of gifts that we need to unwrap to discover who they are and help them in the path that they will go in life. So speak words positively to the lives of your children. Oh, you are good looking. You are handsome. You are beautiful. That's one of the things I started telling our daughters when they were so, you are so beautiful. It's not that they will be starved of such words. When one boy now in one corner starts to tell them you are beautiful, he now enters her head. She has heard you are beautiful so much that if somebody is telling her outside, it should be addition, not that is the foundation. Yeah. Even the 20-something-year-old, I mean, was it last night? We were climbing the staircase in the house. I heard that, I hugged her. I said, ah, let me hug and enjoy you before you go. Before somebody will come and say, I say, mommy. She's enjoying it, though. Praise God. Say positive things to your children. What do you want them to become? What do you want them to become? Start to say those things, not the other way around. You know, our mothers those days, they didn't use to curse us. Good mothers, like Chief Mrs. Kende, they won't say, Iwomoyi, you know, the way Yoruba people talk. Ah. Rather, they will say the opposite. They are really angry, but they say, Omolori Renye. Rather than say, you are a useless child. Omolori, you know, I can't even say such word. They would rather say, Olori Renye. Olori Re. So she's not passing mathematics, and she needs mathematics to go to the next level. Say, God will help you with mathematics. Not that, I don't know. I have spent money. I have done this. I have done that. So speak affirming words. Speak words of encouragement. For those ones that are very young, hug them. Fathers, hug your children. I know it's not common here in Yoruba land. We don't show emotions. Everybody's quiet now. The same thing they are doing to their mother, don't do it to the children. You know, corner love. Show open emotion to your children. Hug your children. How many of you fathers, you do high five with your sons? And they can come and say, oh, hi, Dad. And I remember something now. One of the people that relocated, after many months, the child came home and said, you guys, referring to the father and mother. And the mother got upset. I said, Talumbawi, Emi, you guy. I said, what's your problem? You are not in Abeokuta. You are not in Abeokuta. What do you think she will say? It's I guy that is common around. So when your child comes and I guy, you used to say, you are developing some level of friendship. It doesn't mean that the child does not respect you. You know, the way we were brought up with fear. You couldn't speak to your dad, you couldn't speak to your mom, and everything is out of fear, out of this, out of that. Let your children be free to relate with you. Your child that is not relating with you now will not relate with you when he becomes adult. There will not be any room for interaction between you and that child because it would never was. Don't think that, oh, marry me free. You correct and train. No, you don't talk like that. But that doesn't mean that we don't give room for interaction. High five. Somebody told me, said, I was growing up and my dad never called me by my name. He had nicknames for me. He had nicknames for me. All our children, they had nicknames when they're growing up. My father will call this one, that. And when they call, it's just special. You may not know it, but it's special to them. And the grandchildren now, all of them have nicknames. To the extent that when you will mistakenly call one the other, you tell you no. Like one is madam. The junior one is professor. So when you mistakenly call Madam Professor, she'll tell you, no, I am Madam. My sister is Professor. Praise God. Develop that kind of rapport, that kind of intimate relationship with your children. When they have it, it will be like a bedrock for their future. It will help them to develop well in their mind. Possibility mentality in an atmosphere where they are accepted, when they are shown love, when they are taken for who they are, not wishing for somebody else. Your child is your child. You know, we say we disown them. I will disown you. But does that really exist? That child has already come through you. You may disown in a relationship, but that can never change the fact that you gave birth to that child. So stop wishing that, I wish this and that and that and that. Accept that child and show that child love, acceptance. Affirm them. They have their fears. They have their issues that they go through that they will not tell us. But when they know that daddy is loving, daddy is patient, they can easily come to you and tell you stuff as they grow older. So let's develop that environment where we raise our kids with so much love and so much affection. Like I said, hug them. Do they hug you before they go to bed at night? While you are taking them to school in the morning, do you talk to them? Or we are so busy. I know it's quite enormous. You are busy. You want to achieve this. You want to achieve that. You have meetings for the day. You have that. But few minutes of talking. One of the things I used to do then, when I pick them from school, all the way from school home, I'm talking. What happened in school today? How are your friends? What happened in class? This and that and that. And they pour out of their hearts, especially the ones that can talk very well. You know that some, how was school? Fine. You know, what happened? Nothing. But even with those ones, there are other ways you can use to find out, to know what's going on in their hearts. So, physical touch is very important when you're bringing up your kids. Don't be an African father. Be a believing father. African fathers don't relate with their children. They don't have anything to do with their children. But do you know, if you're a father and you have girls, and you show your girls love and affection, it helps them so much in their future. It will help them. The girl I was referring to, because of what she heard, oh, you are average. She said one day she stood up, she prepared to do Bible study in the family. Everybody will gather around and they take turns to do Bible study. She said she had prepared, she prayed. And she started to talk during Bible study and she fumbled and everybody started making fun of her. And that killed a part of her life. That girl became so, what word will I use? She was unsure of herself. She felt she didn't have any value. She felt she was useless. So anybody that comes around to say, I love you, regardless, anybody that takes and values her, try to show her value, regardless of the circumstances, she will just fall. To the extent that she felt so much, she was into sin, fornication, committed abortion. She was into drugs. Raised in a Christian home. In fact, the parents were pastors. But because of that brokenness. So please, I round up with this. Create a loving environment in your home. You know, you may not know some nitty-gritty about parenting. But when you make love your aim in your family towards your children, everything will be sorted out. When you make love your aim, when you want to show them love and treat them with value, everything will be sorted. the way you treat your husband. You are passing a message across to your children. The way you treat your wife, you are getting a message across to your children. Is it that they're going to learn that, oh, it's good to love because Jesus Christ says so? Or they're going to think that, oh, my parents live double lives. So why can't I? Why won't I? They live like Christians in church and among their friends, and there's something else at home. And we say charity begins where? At home. At home. I can't remember who said this. They said the light that will travel far must shine brightest at home. The light that will travel far must shine brightest at home. So please, God, Bible says God is looking for godly seed. And we want, before you know it, I mean, when I look at our lives, when did we start as parents in this town? Not too long. But today, they are all practically gone. But by the time they are going, will you be happy that you have, God has helped you, God has worked through you to raise responsible citizens of the kingdom and of Nigeria? When, by the time they are gone, would they want to come back? You know, one of them, she's itching to come. In fact, all of them. That one is just very vocal. She came recently, spent 3 or 4 days working from home, and we call her, how many days? Say, Dad, I got back to Lagos, and I'm like, why did I even leave Abeokuta? I want to come home. I feel safe. I feel good when I come home. And I'm happy. I'm happy that the labors of how many years is bringing forth fruit. So while you are laboring now, do it well. Let me tap your neighbor. Do it well. Labor well. Labor right. Because your reward is coming in the name of Jesus. And lastly, if you're a single parent, please, it's not, you won't be the first. You won't be the last. I was raised by a single mother. My mother became widow. I was just 9 years. Don't isolate yourself. Open up yourself and leverage on everything that is available to you. One of the things that my mother did then, she would never cover any wrongdoings. We used to have one of our class teachers living 2 houses from us. One, my class teacher when I was in primary 3 or so. There was a day I stole my mother's money. You know, money everywhere. That's after all the dictionary. You understand that? So I stole her money. So I can't remember the details now. She caught me. After dealing with me, you know what she did? She went to my teacher, 2 houses away, reported to my teacher, and told my teacher to go and say it in the classroom. Yes. And my class teacher did that. Say, Kemi stole her mother's money. I was like this. Don't cover up. You have the advantage of people in church, things church. Yoruba will say, one person gives birth to a child. How many brings it up? Don't be the person that wants, you just want your child to be praised for good. When anybody says anything negative, you say they are narcissistic. What other word? They are this, they are that. You are the last to see the wrongdoings of your children. You will not know until somebody tells you. And if I come and tell you your child is this and you give me attitude, do you think I will come another time? But at the end of the day, Eleru Talomadi, God will help us. So as a single mother, please reach out. My father used to have a boss then. My mother took us, like, and handed off to that Baba, that please, anything they do right, anything they do wrong, you will be aware. And I had a way of shaping us, especially if you're a single mother. Don't think that you can do it all. Don't think you can do it all. When you start to have issues with any of them, speak up, seek for help, seek for counsel, and the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can we lift up our hands and pray for our children?
In a minute or two, can you pray? Bible says Isaiah 54 verse 13. It says, your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And you say, Father, teach my children. Help me, Father. Help me. Day by day as I labor, I permit you to teach, to train these children through me in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all the children, biological and spiritual, children around me. I receive peace for them. Say, grace shall be their peace. Say, Father, I receive peace. What is it that they are struggling with? Are they having any issue in any area of their lives? Can you speak peace to those areas this morning? I say, I declare peace. Is it academic? Do you think that this child is stubborn? Do you think this child is sickly? Can you declare the peace of God upon them in the name of Jesus? Bible says we call those things that be not as though they were. Can you call forth and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare your peace. Peace, great peace and prosperity.